Hey, everybody, welcome to No Filter Weekend Edition. It is Monday morning. We just had a pretty incredible Super Bowl weekend, and both my partner right there, that beautiful man, Tim Peel. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm good, pal. How are you?
I am good. It was a pretty cool weekend. Obviously, Super Bowl weekend is something we all look forward to. And again, this is nofilter.net, and we get to talk about a little bit of football and get away from the hockey for a little bit, but we'll jump back into hockey. But what a weird Super Bowl this one was. The first half was an absolute sleeper. I thought we were going to be just bored to death and go through another debacle of a championship series like we'd had with the past couple NCAA championships. But it turned out to be a doozy. That second half, they really put together and gave everybody a show, didn't they?
It was exciting. The second half, I didn't know that. I had to look it up. Only the second Super Bowl ever to go into overtime, which is pretty incredible. I thought
the first one was amazing with New England and Atlanta, wasn't it? That went overtime.
And you know what? We're kind of used to overtime in hockey, right? But we don't get a lot of overtime in football. So I thought that was phenomenal. But the most important question is, how did you do? I think you did pretty well. How did you do in your bet?
I did very well. Actually, it was, and you know what? Because I didn't panic. And there's somebody else on the show that panicked like a mother the whole first half. I'm not gonna win the over. But this sucks. This is terrible. This is a brutal game. No way I'm gonna get the over. And
I was texting you saying I was crying like a little baby. But you know what's funny? So I took the over, which was at 47, and. And I actually covered. I didn't win. I didn't lose. And I considered that a win, JR, because it looked pretty bleak to get to 47 points.
Well, and I'll tell you my bets. I started off really well because I started off with the coin toss. I hit heads. So I got the coin toss. I got the first score was a field goal. So that one won for me also. I got Travis Kelce over 92. I lost a couple little ones. But then my bigger bets were I went with KC for the game. I mean, getting a point and a half, I actually moved it up to 3. So I had KC plus 3, obviously laying more juice. But and then I teased it. I teased it down to 40 and a half, which was awesome because as soon as it went into overtime, I knew I couldn't lose. And I ended up winning. Most of my bets on the day. And, you know, it just turned into such a great second half. And you can't bet against Mahomes. Like, seriously. Like, this guy is one of the best quarterbacks of all time at his ripe age of, what was he, 28 or 29 right now? And he's got three or four Super Bowls and 6 appearances. And like, he refuses to lose. He finds ways of getting things done, which is why I went with KC in the first place, because that Mahomes just is one of the most clutch quarterbacks I've ever seen under pressure.
Well, how about the runs that he was making in the fourth quarter to get them first downs? You know,
and big ones, like fourth and one. That's a scary play right there.
Yeah, 19-yard run there at one point in the third quarter. The guy's a stud. He's won 3 Super Bowls. And the 3 Super Bowls that he's won, he's got 3 MVPs. The guy is a gamer. It's incredible. And you know what? I didn't pick. I just took the over. I didn't pick Kansas City. I should have, because you're right. Like, and I love Brock Purdy would have been a good story.
Yeah, that would have been a great story. Yeah.
Mystery relevant. He was drafted in Vegas. Now his Super Bowl's in Vegas. But Mahomes, man, you can't bet against him.
You know what? Listen, you can't. I like this because this is not a game where you're going to lay blame on somebody for losing. This was just someone just stepped up and won. Exactly. Brock Purdy had a very good game for a young quarterback. Yeah. And again, the last player taken in the draft, this guy is in the Super Bowl. And I thought he performed really well under the serious pressure. He's going to be in more of these. You know, Brock Purdy's going to be in a bunch of these because he's that good.
You know,
but what did you think? What did you think of the Kelce running into Reed?
It pissed me off. I didn't like it, man. I think it's
it was weird, right? It was weird.
a bad look. I put out a tweet. I said, you don't see this in the NHL. And, you know, a couple people were on me a little bit, but I'm sorry. I don't like it. It kind of made me lose a little respect for Travis Kelce.
And now, do you feel that that's an anti-team aspect or issue, or do you think that this team is that close that they understand each other, that they have that kind of relationship, that they can have those sort of altercations or squabbles or conversations or interactions on the sidelines? Because Reed didn't seem to care too much. I mean, he was like shocked at first, and then he tried to grab his arm. And then, you know, obviously some of the players come over to grab Kelce. And Kelce, he's a competitive guy, man. He's in it. You know, he wants the ball. He wants – I don't see much bad with it, tell you the truth. Then again, I don't know the relationship. And optics look bad, but it's different when you're in the locker room and you know your relationship with a certain person. I think you know what you can do and what you can't do, right?
Yeah.
Who are we to critique their relationship and what they might feel acceptable and what isn't?
I just, I didn't like it. The optics were bad. I just kind of feel like Kelce, maybe his head with the whole Taylor Swift thing, maybe he's just getting a little too big for his britches. You know, he's on a million different commercials. It seems like it might be all about him right now, and it's not about the team.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think he was mad because he only had one catch for 1 yard, and he wasn't involved in the play as much. I think Mahomes was targeting a couple other people rather than Kelce. Kelce was well covered because everybody knew they were going to him. That got him going. I think the ball came to him a little bit more. He ended up getting 98 yards in total receiving, which, again, he boosts up his players. He talks about Mahomes. Yes, he is about himself. He loves the limelight. But so did I. I can't say things bad about him. You know, the guy, this is what we want in players. We want players to be like that. We want players to be energetic, but also bring it on the field. And you can't say that Kelce doesn't bring it on the field. That guy brings it up in a crazy way. The only bad thing the only negative thing I can say about Kelce, to tell you the truth, is he's a vaccine supporter and a liberal Democrat. Besides that, I don't have anything else.
Half of our fan base, okay? But you know what?
I didn't say I didn't like him because of it. I just said I don't agree with it. That's all. One bet we should have
taken, and it didn't look like it was going to cover in the first half because there was nothing to cheer about. We should have taken the over on 6 times that Taylor Swift was shown because I think in the first half she was only shown once, and then the second half, who knows?
There was a bet that you could bet how much was it more in the first half or more in the second half. So I would have bet more in the first half because they would have talked about it a lot more that she made it back from Tokyo, seeing who was with her, seeing what she was wearing, you know, just, you know, what'd you think of the halftime show?
I thought it was good. Yeah. I'm a big Usher fan. I thought it was good. Maybe not the best I've ever seen, but it was good.
I didn't mind it either. I thought it was really well. And I'm a big Usher fan too. So he played all the songs that I love, and I love the medley, and I love bringing in Ludacris and it was just that was fun. I enjoyed the dancing, but I do have to say, and this is no knock against anything, but we've seen three years of a Super Bowl. And we haven't seen one white person in a Super Bowl halftime show, but we haven't seen one in the last three years. You know, not that that's bad. There's no question. Some of the best entertainers in our planet are African American and are extremely talented. But you got to sprinkle it in a little bit. You know, the last 3 years, it's been the entire screen has been African American. They perform really well. They entertain us, but man, you know, when everybody's calling everybody a racist, it's nice to see that. I think that's not the truth in America. So well done by everybody at the halftime show. I thought it was really good.
That guy can dance, man. He can dance.
He sure can. He can sing and dance. I thought it was entertaining. It did. So All right, so that's our football. That's our football. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs again. Mahomes, just a tremendous, tremendous comeback again.
Again next year, who knows?
It's no question. It's unbelievable. Over the weekend, we had a couple weird incidents. Ottawa versus Toronto. Obviously a big Ontario rivalry. Yeah, these teams do not like each other. In Ottawa, Toronto is battling and seems to always have a lot of trouble against Ottawa. And we had a little altercation at the end of the game, altercation of frustration. Take us a little bit through it and tell me what your initial thoughts are on the Morgan Riley situation.
Yeah, it was. I loved it. So Ridley Greig, who I got to be honest, I haven't heard of. I think he's just new into the lineup, and I hear he's from doing some research. He's a bit of an antagonist and shit disturber, which I love. So he's going down on an empty net and decides to take a big clapper, you know, a big 100-mile-an-hour slap shot 10 feet from the net. And I love it. Morgan Riley's like, screw you, I'm coming after you. I don't think Riley meant to cross-check him in the head. I watched it several times. It looks like he tried to get him in the shoulder, and Greig went to put up his arm, and it hit him. So he cross-checks him. He gets a match penalty, thrown out of the game. People are all up in arms. He's having a hearing tomorrow. People are like, and it's an in-person hearing, so they can go over 5 games. My feeling is if they gave David Perron, who's played in over 1,000 games, if they gave David Perron, who's never been suspended before, and actually his penalty was a cross-checking penalty against the Senators as well. So maybe the Senators get under everybody's skin. If he got a 6-game suspension, I think the precedent's been set that you got to give Morgan Riley 6 games. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, but that's my feeling. If you're going to give Perron 6, you got to give Riley 6.
You know what? As much as I didn't mind the Morgan Riley situation, and I understand his frustration, I don't agree with what he did, but I understand the sentiment, what he's talking about, what he was thinking. I think this Riley Greig, is that his name? Ridley Greig? So he's only played 58 games. He's actually been pretty consistent. Okay, he's every other game point scorer in 50 games. So the kid's got talent, and obviously he's got some grit and some gusto. But there's one thing that you don't do in sports, and especially in the National Hockey League, and that's embarrass the other team and shove it in their face and be a showboat in a losing situation, especially, or be a sore winner in a situation as Ridley Greig was. You don't take a slap shot right in front of the net and embarrass the other team like that. And I would have done the same thing as Morgan Riley, although I would not have cross-checked him in the head. I don't think that's what Morgan Riley tried to do. I think he tried to probably get him in the shoulder. Again, when you usually do that, it rides up, and the next thing to be hit is the chin. But how much different is this one from David Perron? David Perron was going to aid a teammate. It was the game situation. He didn't mean to do it. And I think you make a very valid point. If you're going to cross-check somebody purposely, you're going to go after somebody like that, even though you do have a slip of the stick, the precedence has been set. And as much as I don't want Morgan Riley to get suspended because shit like what Ridley Greig did is BS, to tell you the truth. You know, it's immature, it's childish, it's disrespectful, but it's in his prerogative to do it. And maybe he should have just gone up and just dropped the gloves and then started a fight with him instead of cross-checking him.
100%, that's what he should have done. And I don't understand why these players want to use their stick, because you're absolutely right. If Riley goes over, drops his gloves, gets in 3 or 4 punches, he's not getting suspended for that. If he does, maybe he gets 1 game. But you start using your stick as a weapon, and you know bad things are going to happen. My question to you is, did you ever do that as a player, what Ridley Greig did?
No. I never did everything. It's just put it in the back of the net, slide it in. You know, never. It's not smart to embarrass your opponent and especially when you're playing a rival, because there becomes now you become a different target, not only for that game, but for future games. And especially back in our day, if you did that, you know, every time we play that team, I would have a target on my back and I'd have to deal with that. And we understood that. I think Ridley Gregg is going to understand. I don't think he'll ever do that again, because I think this is not only did he get a cross check to the head, but I think he also found out what I guess unwritten code is, unwritten code. And I wonder if any of the players in his locker room say, "Hey, that was pretty cool, Ridley. Way to go, way to go. But let's not do that anymore, right?"
I saw Claude Giroux's interview after, and Giroux basically said, "I don't really have."
Well, he didn't want to say anything. He didn't want to say anything because you know what? I saw that interview too, and to me, if Claude Giroux had a problem with that situation, he would have kept it quiet and done it internally. So to me, he's sitting there saying, "I'm not going to comment because I really didn't like what Ridley did. You know, he's a good player. He's a good kid, so on and so forth. No comment. No comment means my guy did something that he shouldn't have done."
Now,
because you know for sure if it was on the other side, if somebody did that to Claude Giroux would have been right in there punching and slashing and beating the crap out of somebody too.
100%. Now, saying all that, buddy, I kind of like it, because I said on Twitter, I put right out on social media, we need more hatred in our league. We need more stuff like this. You know what I mean? Like, I know what you're saying. It's an unwritten rule. You don't. But you know what? I kind of like that it kind of created a shitstorm. We need more hatred. We need more animosity. We need more emotion in our league, because there's so many games you go to watching paint dry. So, yes, there's an unwritten rule, and you're right. He probably won't do it again. But you know what? We need to get some more emotion going in the league right now.
Yeah, there's no question. Hey, listen, I think the league has been a little bit more frisky this year than it has been in recent years. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see if the National Hockey League and the disciplinary team stick to the precedents that they made with David Perron.
Well, and even if they don't give him 6 games, it looks like he's definitely getting 5, because it's an in-person hearing. They can go, you know. So if they weren't, because you know they've talked about it, George Parros and Ray Whitney and all their guys in there. And if they didn't think it was a 5-game suspension, they would have just had a phone hearing, which would be 2, 3, 4 games. So I think he's getting 5. I think he may get 6, because I think they're kind of saying, "Hey, we kind of gave Perron this. We got it." So it'll be interesting to see. But let's talk about Ovi, and then we'll talk about the Blues. Ovi's got 5 goals in his last 5 games.
Just when you rip him and tell him that he's not going to break the record, right? He just rattles off 5 games in a row with a goal.
Maybe he's listening to you, JR. Maybe he's listening to you. I don't know, but.
Well, this is just how good of a goal scorer he is, and it kind of makes you wonder what he was doing through the 18 games that he didn't score a goal, right? And then all of a sudden he can rattle off 5 games in a row. That's just how Alex Ovechkin goes, and I think that's why it's so unclear. And I think that the guessing game begins every single day that you watch Ovi play. Will he get to Gretzky's record? How long will he play until he can get it? Will he play until he gets it? Because
He's 60 away.
And at the pace that he's going right now, he's going to have to play 2.5 more seasons to get it.
Correct.
And that 38 years old, maybe that's not a far shout to play till you're 41 for a guy like him. But
they're going to have to get a surrounding cast around
him. Yeah, they have to.
He's got Dylan Strome feeding him. You know, I'm sorry, but it's not, you know, Kuzi's out in the substance abuse program. Backstrom's career is done. He really doesn't have a lot of talent, guys, to feed him the puck that he used to have. So they're going to have to bring in a supporting cast.
They're definitely going to have to either try to find something to trade deadline or spend some money in the offseason to get a big-time free agent to help Ovi. I don't know who that will be. I'm not very you know, up to date on the top free agents this summer. But that's definitely something I think Washington needs to do to stay competitive and allow Ovi that chance to do it. So, pretty interesting stuff.
Gotta give a shout out. It's funny how the coaches kind of give you this rush of adrenaline, and it kind of lasts maybe for a week or two. But this Drew Bannister, and I'm a big, and you're a big Craig Berube fan. We didn't like the firing, but unfortunately, good coaches get fired in this business. Drew Bannister's come in, and he's got the Blues in a playoff position. They've won 7 of 8 games. The game they lost was to Columbus at home. But wow. They've rattled off 7 wins out of their last 8. They win a lot of one-goal hockey games. Jordan Binnington's got over a 900 save percentage. Joel Hofer, their backup, is a tremendous backup goalie as well. Krug last night had
5 assists.
They're playing Montreal, but exactly at 5 assists. This Jake Neighbors, buddy, he's got 18 goals. He's your kind of hockey player. His nose is crooked. He's always got blood on his face. He goes hard to the net. He plays it tough. He kind of bit off more than he can chew against one of the Montreal players yesterday. Kind of gave him a little whooping at the end of the game. But
is he a rookie?
He is second year.
Okay, good for him.
And he's looking like he's a 25 goal man.
I'm happy. Rob Thomas seems to be having himself a little bit better every year. God, we're seeing things that Rob Thomas can do. What a great kid. Very, very good hockey player. He's got 18 tucks this year. He's putting up the numbers that I think he's expected. So good on him. Yeah.
And they're doing all this with probably their best defenseman, if not their second best defenseman, in Justin Falk. Falk's been out hurt for 2 or 3 weeks now. I don't know when he's coming back. So is this a team that Doug Armstrong, coming closer to the trade deadline? Because Doug Armstrong, as you and I both know, is one of the most respected GMs in the league.
Yeah.
We're going to add to this team. We're not going to be a seller like we've been the last couple of years.
Yeah.
On
the flip side, Colorado can't get out of their own way right now. They lost 4 in a row. MacKinnon is quiet. You know, he was tied with Kucherov for the scoring lead. Now he's 4 points behind. Kucherov has taken up, I think he's up to 89-90. But this is a weird team. I mean, I don't see a team like Colorado with their guns losing 4 games in a row. That's shocking to me. That should not happen. And it, I mean, yeah, the parity is great in the National Hockey League, but that team is too powerful to lose 4 games in a row. What's happening in Colorado?
I think one of the biggest things, you and I are both Nathan MacKinnon fans, but when I ref Nathan MacKinnon, Nathan is very emotional. We see him get into arguments with his coach on the bench, with Jared Bednar. He sometimes blames other players for not getting them the puck. I've seen it, him yelling at players. But there was one guy that could always bring him down and calm him down, and that was Gabriel Landeskog.
Yeah.
And without having Landeskog in that lineup, that is a big miss for that team. And they don't really have that leadership that I think a Boston has, or some Vegas and some other teams that are elite teams. I think that's a part that this team is missing, is that leadership. Because if things aren't going good, Nate can get off the rails, and it's tough to get him back on.
I don't disagree with you, but again, this team is just way too strong. I don't understand. I mean, they have 53 games; they're 32-17, 4 straight losses. And they have that they're going to be in a dogfight against Dallas, going all the way down to the end here. 30 games left, 29 games left. Dallas looks really strong. Winnipeg is always a team that can bounce back. Those teams are going to be the battling through the top 3. Where it comes to be really interesting is that wild card spot in the Western Conference. It's going to be interesting to see who can grab those wild card spots.
Hey, you were talking about unwritten rules and stuff like that. And, you know, you played a lot of hockey games, over 1,300 games, I think you played in the National Hockey League. And we're talking about Ridley Gregg. Did you see Jake Walman's overtime, or yes, overtime penalty shot yesterday or Saturday?
I did not.
Well, Jake Walman, the defenseman for Detroit, scores on a
penalty. Oh, yes, I did. I did see it. I did see it. Yep. No, what a great celebration.
So he does the, I guess it's called the gritty. He did the dance and so on. Yeah. If you're the other team, do you just want to, I think it was Vancouver actually, do you just want to rip his head off?
No, not in that situation. It's a goal celebration. You know, it's a penalty shot situation. It's overtime. You win. There's no problem dancing. He didn't do anything of the nature that Ridley Gregg did.
I think it's hilarious. That's his thing.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. I thought it was, and by the way, he looked so cool doing it, and it was perfect. And it just, you know, the guy's got rhythm. He's got some pizzazz, and everybody loved it. I thought it was, that's what people want to see. They want to see that kind of emotion, right? That's fun emotion. Not to screw you, shove this in your face, you know, boo-hoo situation that Ridley did. But
I've seen you dance before. I think he's actually a better dancer on the ice.
We need more dancing in the National Hockey League, Tim. We need more dancing. Edmonton Oilers have lost two games in a row after going 16 straight. You see Connor McDavid was getting frustrated now in a two-game losing streak. Colorado on a losing streak. And you have St. Louis Blues are riding high. Ovechkin starting to score. It's going to be a great last 30 games in the league, buddy. And I'm going to enjoy every game and breaking them down with you every Wednesday on nofilter.net. It is Snipes and Stripes with my good friend Tim Peel. This is the weekend edition. We love Mondays. Or maybe we don't because it's time to get back to work. But it's time to get back to work for you. Time to get back to work for me. Everybody have a great week. We will see you on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. Pacific, right here on nofilter.net. It is Snipes and Stripes, and my partner's amazing. See you, Tim.
Yeah, buddy. That was good.